But there are three things that they all have in common. Doesn't matter who they are, young or old, male or female, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, from different backgrounds with different personalities and different gifts, talents and abilities, places of service. They have three things in common. All of God's sons. Number one, they're all loved by our Lord. The Lord Jesus loves them. All of them. He loves them the same. He said, I've drawn them with an everlasting love, an infinite love, an unchanging love. They're all loved by Christ. He loves them. Having loved His own, He loved them to the end. Secondly, they love Him. Not a doubt about it. They love Him. Scripture's too clear on that. The Scripture says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but He loved us. His love was first. And our love is in response. We love Him because He first loved us. God's people love the Lord. Now they do. They love Him. They love Him. And thirdly, they love each other. They love each other. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you love one another. That's the mark, characteristic of God's people. They love. God's people love. He that loveth not knoweth not God. But God is love. And they love each other. They do love each other. Those three things are so. God loves them. And they love Him. And they love one another. It says here in 1 Corinthians, now Paul, back here in chapter 12, verse 28, he said, God had set some in the church, first apostles, there were apostles and prophets and teachers and miracles and gifts of healing and helps and governments, diversities of tongues. Verse 29, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in other languages? No. Do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet to serve God in whatever capacity He's pleased to use us. Covet the best gifts. Nothing wrong with wanting to teach and wanting to preach and wanting to do something for the glory of God. And yet, show I you a better way, a more excellent way. I'm going to show you something better than gifts, better than healing, better than miracles, better than being a preacher, better than being a prophet, better than being an apostle. I'm going to show you something better, a more excellent way. And then he says in chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues and languages of men and angels, and have not love, love, to have the love of God in your heart, God loves you and you love God, is better than being able to speak with the tongue of angels. Think about that. Because if I don't have love, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Might as well stand back and beat an old Chinese gong for all the good it'll do if I don't have love. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and though I understand mysteries, I'm a theologian, I'm knowledgeable, I have all knowledge, I have the understanding of the old writers, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, it'll do me no good. I'm nothing. That's the reason this is a more excellent way. Because with all these things, without love, I'm nothing. Read on. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned as a martyr for my religious beliefs, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long. Love is kind. Love envieth not, not jealous. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, proud and arrogant. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. Love is not rude, in other words. Love seeketh not her own things. Love is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, in the fall of others, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and never faileth. Whether they be prophecies, they'll fail. All these fellows that have got all the answers, you know. Someday they'll find out that most of them didn't know the questions. Whether there be tongues, they'll cease. We'll all speak the same language in glory. Whether there be knowledge, it'll vanish away. For we know in part. We don't know anything. If a fellow thinks he knows anything, he doesn't know anything as he ought to know it. We prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Well, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away these childish things. And now we see through a glass darkly, dimly. But then, face to face. Face to face. Now I know in part, my knowledge is so limited. If I had 10,000 lives to live, I'd never master the study of God, the mysteries of the gospel, or the glory of Jesus Christ. 10,000 lives, I know in part. But then I'll know, even as also I am known. So now abideth faith, hope, and love. But I'll tell you the greatest of these, love. You see, a Christian, I don't want to be offensive, but I know these things that I'm about to say to be true. A Christian is not merely a theologian. A Christian is not merely a person who professes religion. A Christian is not a person who goes to church on Sunday and fulfills his duties, pays his tithes, and talks religion. A Christian is not one who just believes certain Bible truths. I hear people say, I've come to the knowledge of the doctrines of grace. You can come to any position you want to, still not be a child of God. You can go from Catholicism to fundamentalism, from fundamentalism to Calvinism, from Calvinism to Reformedism, and still just be an ism. Because this business of believing, this business of knowing God, is a heart matter. It's not only a head matter, though God works through the head and the intelligence. A man cannot call on him in whom he's not believed, and he can't believe in him of whom he's not heard, and he can't hear without a preacher. Men hear, and they think. But this thing of a relationship with the living God is a heart matter. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord and believe in thine heart, God raised him from the dead. My son, give me your heart. Keep thy heart out of it of the issues of life. He said, I'll take out of them the stony heart and give them a heart of flesh. Salvation is believed in the heart. Felt in the heart, it's experienced in the heart, it's known in the heart, and it's lived in the heart. And until it touches the heart, it is not salvation. That's just so. Oh, I know, and we talk about these things and we love these things. We have experienced an awareness of God's holiness. But the devils know something about the holiness of God. Don't you remember when Christ came up on that man possessed of demons and they said, we know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Have you come to torment us before our time? We know something of the holiness of God. You can teach that to your children, the holiness of God. Holy and reverent is his name. We know something of our own sinfulness, but that's not too hard to learn. If you tell the truth, if you know yourself, you know you're a sinner. I don't have to tell you that. You know that if you'll admit the truth. That's not too hard to learn. We're aware of our sinfulness. We've experienced a conviction of sin. But Judas came back and threw the money on the floor and said, I've sinned. I've betrayed innocent blood. Esau, after he sold his birthright, came back and sought repentance with tears. Never found it. We have believed that Jesus Christ came into the world and died on the cross, and he died effectually for people. He died with an effectual redemption. He died for his elect. I know that. And the Holy Spirit invincibly, irresistibly calls God's people, and they will persevere. But besides all this, there's something which God Almighty creates within that person who truly believes it. And that is a new heart and a new nature and new principles. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Though I know the doctrine, though I'm able to prophesy, though I have all knowledge, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, though I'm an orator that can speak like an angel, if I have not love, I'm nothing. I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, and it profits me nothing. Love for Christ and love for his people. And throughout this message, I'll be speaking mainly of love to Christ. But I'm telling you this, if there's love to Christ, there's love to his people. And where there's no love for his people, there's no love for Christ. Now let's look at some scripture. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Everywhere you look in the Word of God, this just stands out to you. Love for Christ. Sincere heart devotion, and heart love, and commitment. Christ my Lord. That's what the book of Song of Solomon is all about. My beloved is mine and I'm his. John, isn't that what it's all about? It's the love. You see, here's a man and a woman. You read the book, the Song of Solomon. Here's the bride and the bridegroom. And how he loves her. And how she loves him. And this is Christ in the church. Is that not right? And they love one another. And if that's absent, there's no union. There's no marriage. There's no joy. But where that is present, there's a real union. And here in 1 Corinthians 16, 22, listen. If any man. 1 Corinthians 16, 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha. What does that say? Let him be accursed, the Lord's coming. Now, brethren, Paul allows no way of escape. No way of escape to the person who loves not the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, these two go together, love for him and love for each other. There's no way of escape to the person who does not love Christ. There's no loophole. There's no excuse. A man may lack much head knowledge. Who was the couple that got the preacher, took him into their homes and taught him more perfectly the gospel? You remember in the book of Acts, Apollos, was he the fellow? They took him. He wasn't too sharp up here. And you may not have a great deal of head knowledge, but oh, I wouldn't swap it for this. Love for Christ. A man may lack courage. The Apostle Peter didn't demonstrate a whole lot of courage, you know, when those fellows said, you're one of his disciples. He said, no, I'm not. But he loved Christ. You may not have a lot of head knowledge or a lot of courage. You may fall like David. I guarantee you one thing. David loved Christ. You see what I'm saying? There are a lot of folks who have a lot of knowledge and a lot of principle. And a lot of so-called courage, they'll fight you for the doctrine. Saul of Tarsus would before God saved him. But the thing to covet more than anything else is to love Christ. Because if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Accursed when Christ comes. Look at another, Ephesians 6. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians the 6th chapter, verse 24. Listen to this verse. Now, Paul is sending his good wishes and goodwill to all the Christians down at Ephesus, to all believers. Many of these people he'd never seen. Many of these people he did not know. Nor did he know about their knowledge or patience or faith or accomplishments or gifts or whatever. How shall he address them? How shall he send his greetings? How shall he pray for them? Well, this is what he said. Verse 24. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. That's what he says. I send my love and my blessings and my good wishes and my goodwill to everybody who loves Christ. Now, the rest of them, anathema. But to those who love Christ, wow, in sincerity. Amen. So be it. Love Christ. Let's try another one over in John 8, verse 42. I'm showing you the importance of this matter of loving Christ. John chapter 8, verse 42. Listen to this scripture. Now here, our Lord was surrounded by some strict religionists. They're tough on everybody but themselves. They're tough. They claim to be children of Abraham. They claimed to be theologians. They got mad at that blind man and said, "Do you teach us?" They even said that to Christ. "You're not 50 years old. You know, how'd you come to know so much?" Oh, these were learned fellows. They claimed God was their father. And that's they said as much. John chapter 8, verse 42. And Jesus said to them, you know, we have a lot of this fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man circulating everywhere. And they said, "God's our Father. God's our Father." And our Lord Jesus said, "If God were your Father, what would be the distinguishing mark? You'd love me. You'd love me. If God were your Father." I say that to everybody here. I say that to myself. To everybody here. If God were your Father, you'd love Christ. How can you love the Father and not love the beloved Son? How could a man even suggest such a thing? How could you love the Father and not love the Son? They're one. They're one. Here's the broad principle. No man is a child of God who does not love with his heart Jesus Christ the Lord. If God were your Father, you'd love me, he said, for I proceeded forth and I came from God. Neither came I of myself. He sent me. And no man has seen the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. No man knoweth the Father but the Son. How can you love God and not love the Son when you've never even seen God except in the Son? Let's read what he said to Peter over in John 21. This is so interesting. You know, Peter had denied the Lord. He was ashamed. He was embarrassed. But he had been embarrassed before. Like some of us, that's our story of our lives, isn't it? Failure and embarrassment and disappointment and shame. He stumbled so often. And here he'd led the other disciples to go fishing. Back fishing again. I don't mean as a hobby. I mean, he quit the ministry, what he did. He said, "I'm going fishing." This is after Christ arose from the grave. And they were out there fishing, and the Lord appeared on the shore, and he said, "Children, have you any meat?" And one of them said, "It's the Lord. It's the Lord." And they were about to 300 yards offshore. I believe that's correct. A good ways, and Peter didn't wait till they got the nets pulled in. See, they had the nets all out. They were fishing. They had all the nets out. It took a long time to get the nets all rolled in, the fish brought in, all this sort of thing. He just jumped in the water and swam to shore. Swam to his... Oh, he loved him. He loved him. He just swam to shore. And after they'd dined, verse 15, The Lord set Peter down, took him, I think, aside from the others, and he said to him in verse 15, John 21, "So when they'd dined, our Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?'" Now, our Lord wasn't talking about the other disciples. He wouldn't do that. Richard, he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't ask you if you loved him more than I did. You know what he's talking about? I believe he's pointing at those boats and those nets. That was Peter's life before he met the Lord. Wasn't it, John? Fishing. That was his life. He'd given his whole life to fishing. I know somehow some of you fellas love fishing almost that much, don't you? You love me more than these? More than these? And he said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Well, he said, "Feed my lambs." And he wouldn't let him alone. He said to him the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" There are a lot of questions our Lord could have asked Peter, questions that we usually ask each other. Are you converted? Are you saved? A fellow came to Dr. Magruder one time in my presence, said, "Are you born again?" Dr. Magruder said, "What's your definition?" "I don't know." "What is born again? Before I tell you, I want to know what it is." He could have asked Peter, "Are you converted? Are you born again? Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe the doctrines of grace? Will you confess me? Will you serve me? Will you obey me?" He didn't ask him any of those things. He asked him the one important question in which all the others are included. Do you love me? Do you love me? That's all I need to know, Clarence Wiseman. Do you love Christ? If you love Christ, you're converted. You're born again. We're not born again because we love him. We love him because we're born again. And Peter replied, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon," how many times did Peter deny the Lord? I think this had something to do with it. And that was by fire too. That's where this was. He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And I tell you, he does know all things too. That's the reason I say it's so foolish for us to play the hypocrite. That's the most dumbest thing a man ever has tried to do. Play the hypocrite. Because God knows all things. We may justify ourselves before men, but Scripture says God looks on our hearts. And that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. God sees the heart. There's no need for me walking up and down an aisle and shedding crocodile tears and carrying on religious jargon and hallelujah, praise the Lord, and all these different things to impress the people around me. Who cares? My friends don't need impressing. It won't do my enemies any good. They're going to hate me anyway. He knows that. That's what Peter said. You know. You know. You know everything. And you know I love you. You know I love you. He said, "Well, feed my sheep." You see, this is the point. This is simple as it may sound. Do you love me? Very simple. Plain and easy. As it is, do you love me? Easy to be understood. Point blank question. Do you love me? A man's state, a man's relationship with God rests on the answer to that question and no other. Do you love me? Is that right, Tom? Do you love me? That's what it said to Peter. The whole, if a man loves Christ, all is well. If a man doesn't love Christ, all is wrong. That's where it is. You love the Christ of God. You love the Christ as He's revealed in the Scripture. You love the Christ of glory. You love the Christ of sovereignty. Because that's who He is. And in this text right here, the Lord bases all that Peter will ever do, upon this relationship. Do you love me? Feed my lamb. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. You see, one may do many things out of a sense of duty, but that's not the service that our God honors. When I'm motivated by fear, or motivated by duty, or motivated by reward, God won't accept it. God won't honor it. He just will not honor it. I don't care what it is, He will not honor it. Got to be motivated by one thing. You love me. People ask me, what's the secret of preaching the Word of God? Faithfully. Pastoring. Going where you have to go. Doing what you have to do. Studying what you have to study. I tell you, love Christ. That's the secret. Just love Christ. I have people say, well, how much should I give? How shall I give? When shall I give? What's my fair share? What's my responsibility? You're coming at it the wrong way. You give because you love. That's it. You give because you love. We don't ask those things about our wives and our husbands and our children. My child can have everything I got. But how much do we owe the kid? You don't talk that way, do you? You write the check, honey, and I'll sign it if you need it. If I got it. If I ain't got it, I'll borrow it. That's right, isn't it? Right. You're a daddy now. You know, don't you? You love Christ? That's the answer. Somebody says, well, how much should I forgive? Just how far should I go with this fella? Depends on how much you love him. That's all. How much you love him. If you love him, you love him. Prodigal son, he broke that old man's heart, didn't he? Some of you had some broken hearts over children too, hadn't you? Some of you are going to have some. But I tell you, that old door stands open all the time. Come on home, son. Come on home. And I'll guarantee if you never bring it up, I'll never bring it up. No matter what it is. That prodigal son, that daddy ran out there to meet that ragged varmint, put a robe on him and a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and killed the calf he'd been saving all that time because he loved him. Kissed him. He kissed him. He didn't put his finger in his face and say, you got a lot of making up to do. No, he kissed him because he loved him. Somebody said, well, how shall I witness? It's not too hard to talk about somebody you love. It's not too hard to defend them when somebody attacks them either. Is it? You're talking about my friend. That's witnessing. That's what he said to Peter. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Then feed my sheep. Well, preacher, how do I know if I love Christ? If I really love Christ? I think I love Christ. I believe I love Christ. How do I know if I really love Christ? I don't think that's too hard to answer. How do you know you love somebody on this earth? How do you know that? How do you know that you love somebody? You and Esther been married, what, 60 years? 56, 57? Long time, hadn't you? How do you know you love her? You know, don't you? You're sure you know. Well, in whatever way or manner love is shown between husband and wife, parent and children, friend and friend, that's the way you answer this question here. It's answered by common sense. I can give you seven things. If you really love a person, you like to think about them. Yeah. You don't need to be reminded of that person if you love him. We don't forget their names. When your wife went away recently, did you forget her name? No. We don't forget their names. We don't forget their place. That person dwells in our hearts, whether they're present or absent. Absent. Even so, Christ dwells in our hearts, and we love to think on Him. That's right. We don't forget them. If you love a person, you like to think about them. Secondly, if you love a person, you like to hear about them. We find pleasure in listening to those who speak of the object of our love. Any report of that person's life or activity will be of interest to us. You ever gone to somebody's home and they've taken home movies and want you to look at them? Ain't too much fun, is it? But they look at them over and over and over again. Because that's the object of their love. That's right. They keep playing them over and over and over and over. Look at that. Look at it. You see what he did? I've seen it 100 times. But it's still him. And I still love him. And it's always new. Isn't that right? If you love a person, you like to read about them. You sat there and studied a while ago. I could listen to you read the rest of the evening. Just not even come out here to sit back there and listen to Cecil read about his Lord. Love to, don't you? Been reading about him 40 years. Like to read about him. Because you love him. How welcome is a letter from someone who's away. Husband, wife, child, friend. Far away. Go to the mailbox and get a letter. Read it. Every time I go to Houston and preach, which I did last week, the missionary children, all there, Walter Gruber's family, he has 10 grandchildren. 10. They were every one in the service Friday night. He has 5 children. They were every one in the service Friday night. He has one of his children not married, 4 in-laws, and all of them but one was in the service. 18 Grubers in the service. It's that way every time I go out there. They love the gospel. And you know what I do? I sit down and write Betty a long letter and tell her about all the children, what they said to me, what I said to them, about Eric playing the saxophone, a grandson, and Lisa, her daughter, playing the organ, and her son Kevin playing the guitar and singing, her daughter Esther playing the marimba and singing. And I go through all this, 2 or 3 pages. And she tells me when she gets that letter, she reads it 12 times. She said, I just sit out there on the porch with my coffee and read that letter over and over and over again. I mailed her one last week, told her about the whole crowd. She's waiting on it. You never get tired if you love a person. Isn't that right? If you love a person, you like to please them. You're blue when you displease them. I know that's so. Even when you have to deny yourself, you love to please that person that you love. Even if it's some of you dear ladies getting up 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning fixing your husband a breakfast. Even preparing a meal for all your children. Even sitting there sewing and making garments for your little ones. You men going out there to work and working so hard 5 and 6 days a week. Sometimes 8 or 10 hours a day. What are you doing all that for? You want to please the object of your affection. You want to bestow the best that you can on the object of your affection, and you're willing to deny yourself to do so. That's what it is to love Christ. If you love a person, you love those he loves. Isn't that right, Jim? If you love a person, you love those he loves. I didn't know there was such a person on earth as Bob Coffey. And I certainly didn't love him. And Becky brought him home one day. But you know, I loved him from the start. You know why? My baby loved him. Isn't that right? My little girl loved him. And she loved him, I loved him. I've grown to love him for his own now. But if we love somebody, we love those whom they love. That's just so. And if Christ is in you, and I love Christ, I love you. And nothing's going to happen to that love. It never faileth. It endureth and endureth and endureth and endureth. Here's a couple down here on the front row. I've known her since she was a little tow-headed girl. Now she's a gray-headed grandma from Alabama. But that love never ceased for Lester and Bobby all these 30-some-odd years. And I don't foresee anything happening to it, do you? Not if we love Christ. Not if we love Christ. That's right. We might get upset with one another every once in a while, but we still love each other. You see, it's not being upset. That's not the issue. The Lord gets upset with me, too. I know that. He got upset with his disciples. He said, oh, ye of little faith, but he loved them. And it never stopped. And if you love a person, you love those whom he loved. And in the sixth place, if you love a person, you love to talk to him. I hear people talk about prayer being such a burden. I don't understand that. Maybe we got the wrong concept of prayer. Maybe we're trying to make it a form. That would be a drudgery. Maybe we're trying to make it an organized ritual. That would be a drudgery. But when we're communing, you have a friend whom you love, you have no difficulty talking to him. You have no difficulty choosing subjects. You love to talk to him. You love to share your innermost secret with a friend. Isn't that delightful to talk to a friend and just share your whole life with that friend, with your wife? Darcy and I ride down the highway sometimes, just talk and talk and talk about things. Enjoy it so much. And when we're quiet, we don't feel uncomfortable. When we talk, we just love each other. We like to talk. That's prayer. I wish we could get prayer out of not heard by much speaking, the length of our speaking, or the eloquence of our speaking. We heard for the love and sincerity of our hearts. Just talk to them. And I'll tell you this, if we love a person, we like to be with them. That's right, we enjoy being with them. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Listen to what this says. 1 John chapter 3. You know, Paul said that quite often. He said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. In 1 John 3, it says, behold, verse 1, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we, of all people, should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not. It knew him not. But beloved, now are we sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we're going to be like him, and we're going to see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him, what hope? He's going to see Christ. He's going to be like Christ. He purified himself. He's longing for that day. He's looking forward to that day. Even so, John said, come, Lord Jesus. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. I want to love him more, don't you? All right, Mike, come lead us in a closing hymn, if you will.
Turning our hymnal to page 452. 452.